Today is Thursday, first day of fall, September the 22nd. Joining us this morning, noted realtor, Mr. Mark Mattioli. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you.
You shuffling paper just like a real estate guy.
Here we are.
Are you ready for our why do we say that?
Before you go to that,
yeah.
All real estate transactions have to be in writing, so I'm getting ready with the paperwork.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Just what we do. Yeah.
Why do we say throw in the sponge or throw in the towel?
You hear more throw in the towel than you hear throw in the sponge.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I'm going to relate it to boxing. If you have a boxer and you're his manager, and you're sitting by the ringside, and your boxer's just not doing very well, you can tell that he's not going anywhere and going to get seriously hurt, you throw in the towel, and it's a sign of giving up or quitting.
Pretty darn close.
Really?
Except there's a little bit more nasty preceding, yeah, that evolved there.
Okay.
Before anyone thought of calling pugilism a science, sluggers went at one another helter-skelter. Even after bare fists were abandoned in favor of light gloves, victory was usually won by beef and brawn rather than skill. Many a bruised and battered fighter found that he could not get to his feet when he heard the signal for the new round to begin. Handlers of such a fellow knew that there was nothing to do but to give up. So one of them would toss into the ring an article used to soak up blood, a towel or a sponge.
Oh.
Modern boxing is replete with rules designed to outlaw the brutality of the past. Even the lingo of the ring has become larger and richer. But in an era of instant replays for TV, a person forced to give up at ringside or anywhere else is said to have thrown in the towel.
Well, I thought I got that pretty close.
Yeah.
Pugilism. I just read about...
Which is better than throwing in the spit bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading something about... It was Shakespearean, and it was had to do with baiting the bull... And baiting the bear. They used to have bear baiting, and they used to have...
Bear fights. Yeah.
And I guess the bear go against the bear, or would it be humans? I don't know. But in bull baiting, of course, the man goes against the bull. He does have the advantage. He pokes big...
poke the bear? No, they used to do dogs.
Hmm?
Dogs against bears. That was a sport.
Dogs against bears.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cockfighting was, in that same...
I've never heard of it since, but I know that there's cockfighting.
This goes back a little bit, yeah. Not recently. It's not a zoo fundraiser. Let's just leave it there.
Oh, boy.
So what's summertime been like?
As
active as what you were thinking last time we got together?
I would say that it's pretty close. You would think that in the fall, we're getting close to it, things would really back off, as would be normal, seasonal thing. But they haven't really dropped a lot. And is it us? Is it our little particular local economic situation with a lot of really interesting things happening? Or is the overall market not going down like this? I think the other parts of the country are showing signs of decline. But ours is minimal. And, of course, we have talked about this. We keep going over this. We have this
university. So the seasonal fluctuation, we're not seeing
not
that slowdown.
A little bit, but not a whole bunch.
How about days? One of the barometers you've referenced in the past is days on market. That is a canary.
Yes, it is.
For the industry. Has that changed much?
Let me read you the comment regarding days on the market. This is from an email I get from Charles McCann. And Charles is a real estate broker. We talked about Charles before. So I'm bringing Charles' name in here, give him credit for the work that he does. He does spend a lot of time on charts and graphs. But he says that the days on the market has hovered between 9 and 13. Imagine that. It only takes 9
Still
to 13
2 weeks.
Days to sell. Yes,
yeah,
2
okay.
weeks. And that's been really good and fun for us real estate brokers, make us look real smart.
Yeah.
But over the last few weeks, it's risen to, get ready for this, it's risen to 16 days on the market.
So still...
still very good. Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
16 days. Now. This shows a change in trend and will probably continue to rise as we move into the winter months, says Charles. It may be we are now moving back to the more pronounced seasonal swing with less buying pressure as we move into fall and winter. There is buying pressure in the good weather and long days. You know, sunshine, let's go look at a house. So, and as we get to shorter days, it does change.
Right, the holidays, it's kind of tough to.
So he's pointing out that the 16 days on the market may well really have to do with the seasonal rather than any serious change in our market.
Now, I would suspect that part of this also is calming the nerves either of the buyer or of the seller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've all, I think, heard stories 2 days on the market. It was listed this morning, came in 25 grand or 50 grand over asking price, and now it's. By God, it's 4 days and we're not getting any offers.
Oh yeah.
Oh my word, what's wrong? Do we have to drop price?
I've had real estate brokers on a listing that I've had say to me, Mark, can you tell me what's wrong with this listing? It's been on the market 9 days and I just have to almost like, it's a spit take, you know, ready, I'm having my coffee and out of gums.
Right.
Because really, 9 days on the market, that's just, we used to tell people in the normal market, you know, really don't expect a lot till 60 to 90 days. We would, you know, try to work on it past 30 and get a price improvement. But 9 days, yeah, really. Now, that's gone up to 16 days and a small sign. He would say that is, as you say, something that we're moving back into a more pronounced seasonal.
So you're still market. Very comfortable that this is a very strong market.
Still getting buyer pressure. I embarrassingly will announce here that I did take 32 days to sell a listing last month, and you will be surprised not that people are going, well, Mark, it's been on the market. You know, what do we got to do? We did reduce the price even twice, and therefore it happened. So that's also going on. There could be sales because we are recognizing that there's a change around us. And if we're going to sell something, don't just sit there on your high horse. Really make an adjustment to price.
Now, when you set the recommended price, you're going with similar homes or as close as you can get, similar homes and what the current trends are.
Yeah.
So are those asking prices continuing to escalate at the 10 to 15%? Or is that kind of moderated as well?
It's moderated. In my book, I think we have seen some modest change in price, although Charles would like to say that the, homes sold in the last 30 days. Let's see, where's that at?
Well, what is your...
Sold price. One of the things is the sold price versus the listing price still is getting... higher than we're still getting
above asking.
Above asking,
but not as far above,
not maybe as far, but okay. Still a number of, here's a little chart, you can see it, folks at home.
So your comparables are still a pretty good indicator,
points, but I'll tell you, in real estate meetings that we have, we are scratching our head as to really what's the right thing to do and to try to figure it out, and what's Fortuna doing, you know, and there
are geographic nuances still, aren't there?
Like Arcata is strongest of all, has been for decades, but the change in Arcata, in which there is going to be much demand for housing, and that the demand creates price pressure, and that's what's going on. Arcata definitely has it, and it is... showing there, and maybe spilling out in concentric circles around Arcata. So.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli. Mark, in the last segment, we were talking a little bit about the pricing, and you said Arcata is kind of the center of the bullseye, so to speak, and we have the concentric rings mm-hmm. coming out. Mm-hmm. Now, typically, you would think that Eureka would also, because they're not making any more land, and if the city is where people want to be, it's not annexation and it's not adjacent, you know, because you don't have too much mm-hmm. adjacent. You got Cutton and Myrtletown, that's about it, and those are relatively built out as well.
Yeah, at the supply side of the three-component equation, supply, demand, and price, the supply side has remained, unfortunately, very, very low, really, and not a lot of new construction.
But we see isn't enough to ameliorate.
The state of California has put pressures on cities all around. You read about San Francisco and the thousands of properties they need, and they always come up with a reason why they don't like this project or that project. Arcata did the same thing with a project there that was going to produce, I can't remember a number of units, but it was many units, close to 100. And they just kept giving them, well, change it now. Oh, that's too many. Let's go back. So there's not a lot of cooperation.
The ducks nibbling on the heels.
With municipalities to do this. There's quite a NIMBY thing going on. Well, Arcata is now going through this gateway project. Have you looked at that?
Yeah.
You have looked at that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about possible 8-story buildings to try to provide. And it's people say it just like Mark just said it with a 8-story surprise, wow, 8 stories. It'll really change the appearance of Arcata.
I've heard 4 is more realistic.
Well, it might go to 4, but right.
But allowing up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Eureka's got some of their high density stuff with the senior housing and low rent and things
and
of that nature.
And that is the way to get high density, is to go up rather than spread. So it makes sense to try to, if you want to get more housing, to go up like that, is to go up 4, 5, 6, and even 8 stories to try to do that. And that's on the table. That's a proposal. What will happen?
Are you seeing a lot of the established homes, not old, established homes, starting to turn over also? As it seems a little bit more myopic probably with Eureka rather than throughout the county, is that there's a lot of homes that have the appearance of rentals that still aren't really being taken care of. Is there a lot of door knocking saying?
I'll be honest, I don't have a good read as to
whether
secondary units are being created a lot. I don't know.
Or the heavy grass, not to pick on one, but I will.
Okay.
Harrison and Lucas, the Victorian that's there.
Uh-huh.
Waves of grain is what's happened to the front yard. I look at that and go, it was a nice house, has plenty of property. Now, if there was a realtor or an agent that had some time, do a little research and contact whoever the owner is and say, guys,
There can be many reasons why an owner is not doing anything. Maybe there was a death in the family, and they're going through a long probate. Maybe there's arguments among the family members, and they just can't move to a decision-making point. This can happen.
Sure.
And so there's that. And a number of other kinds of things that can prevent properties from getting
To investigate. And there's plenty of other ones also throughout town.
Perhaps,
and throughout every town.
But I will tell you, in general, I think our little community, this one in Arcata too, is getting a lot of attention on improvements.
We're starting to see a lot of that kind of stuff, which is really cool.
Mr. Danco out there, Johnson, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, Danny.
He's putting, I think, up to near 36 to 40 units right there on Myrtle at 7th.
Yeah, the old gas station.
It was an old gas station? Well, you may recall it had a deep hole as they were working on it. But that property was made they had to do a lot to get it to be useful. And that is another problem. I mean, that the
And it pencils out.
What?
And it's now penciling out where before it wouldn't.
Perhaps, right, yeah. But there are many parcels that just don't have. We have a lot of gulches and greenways. You should look at an aerial of Eureka. There's 5 giant gulches and greenways, and they're not going to get developed. So where does that leave it? Well, we could go do what they do in Dubai. We could go into the ocean and fill in gaps. Not going to happen.
I think Cutton's a little easier.
Yeah, maybe Cutton's a little easier. So we do have very, very limited areas where you can expand, and those areas have primarily been done. Here you are in Myrtletown and The old nursery has been
Cottage Gardens.
It's completely developed. There's no further space there. There's some now. You go, and what's remaining is the gulches and greenways, and it's not likely you can do anything there. It's
a little bit more challenging.
Well, there are watersheds, and you don't want to ruin a watershed by having lots of development on it. So
right. We still have got that big one that was penciled in and discussed out in Cutton. That everybody freaked out about, thinking 3,000 homes in 5 weeks, and all of a sudden, it's like, come on, really?
It's been really slow since then,
And the one around Rex's Fields that Kramer's trying to do.
So, we have need for further supply.
Is it NIMBY that's the issue? Is it people not wanting their neighborhoods to lose the field that's across the street that's been there that
it's complex in that. There are many regulations regarding the development of a property.
You want to bring up regulations, Wait, Winston, how much time do we have left in this segment?
I know, Brian, you're in the middle of one of these things. But
okay, we got 30 seconds. So I will build up my momentum.
You just can't
after
go.
This.
There was a time, I will tell you, I had a relative in 1920s, late 20s. He bought 5 acres. He penciled out 10 lots. And he took it to the county, got 10 lots here, and that's all that was necessary. Did he have water? Turns out he didn't. He had to go across the highway and knock on a neighbor's door who gave him well rights. But that's how it was done. You can't do that today. You have to show all those things in place before you can do your subdivision, before you can record that map. So that's also part
of it. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli, partner, right, at Benchmark.
I'm a broker at Benchmark.
You're a broker.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't want you.
I don't get
the
all
meetings.
The profits. They get them all. We have 12 agents
folks
there, and I'm happy to be one. And but I closed my old 4-star office,
right?
And it's now a vacation rental. So that's what happened.
Okay, free plug. Fine.
Yeah. Did I get a free plug out of that? This is good. You ask. I had an answer.
Yeah,
come on.
You're true.
We
talked a little bit about regulations and some changes
that
have been going on with developments, price of housing, areas that you can develop. You know, you look at some of those types of things, and I would think that makes it a little difficult or more challenging, not more difficult, more challenging to hit some of these numbers that the jurisdictions want, that the marketplace wants, that are really needed in our area. How many of those things are there now? Is it expanding? Is it
well? The city of Eureka, several years back, 5 to 10, wanted to do their own little map of all of the possible parcels that are still remaining, and with in response to the state saying, "Hey, you guys ought to build some houses," and they would say, "We have a lot of parcels that are vacant." Well, these parcels are steep. These parcels might be 500 feet from a power line. These, you know, I'm making up examples, but
reasons why they haven't been.
But we got them. There they are. We have lots of them. Don't worry. But be happy. But it's not the situation. There is the parcels that remain in Eureka are going to be challenging. So they also. That's why I think the state went toward the infill, a secondary unit business has been huge pressure and lots of assistance by the state and locals. You can go down to the city and buy, you get a free plan to do your own secondary unit. You don't have to pay an architect to get it. They really would like infill rather than expansion into our beautiful agricultural lands or forest lands. So
what does that do to the value of that property? It must increase it because the square footage is up.
Well,
but is that desirable?
It is one little thing is that if you're the owner of it, Do you want a tenant in your backyard? It's a slow thing.
Not I would think that there might be, it's going to split the market from the investor to the owner-occupied.
There's that too. And it's even actually, you can actually go more than just one extra secondary unit. They really are opening up the rules. I think you can go two, just like you had. And so those kind of things will happen as it becomes economically viable, but still at the same time, you got to pay a building contractor the money, and you got to go, unless you happen to have it in your pocket, you're going to have to refinance it to get it. And, at a certain point in a party's life, who wants to borrow more money and create that? So it's going to have to be
Are the banks even loaning on it?
Well, they will, yeah. But it's going to have to be a change. Whenever there might be a sale, it might be the new buyer say, that's a high-priced house, but I could add a secondary unit and make this thing, as you like to say, pencil. So it could be that transfers of title may be one of the things that happen to get the secondary unit thing. But I think we're going to see them.
So that is a change.
It is.
So
we're going to see them. They're going to be more infill. It's desirable to do in terms of supplying, getting some more supply.
I could almost see a neighborhood having a premium because they don't have secondary.
Yeah, well, you put your thumb right on it again, Brian. That's a thing. There is a NIMBY thing. Why, we have a quiet neighborhood. We don't want more cars in our neighborhood. That idea. And there is a feeling that
now those of us living on Booner or E Street can't use that claim.
Yeah. We just
but
have we
some
have,
of the cul-de-sacs, that are in the area. You could see that would be something when a house came on the market. Hey, we do not have any. We are the traditional neighborhood rather than some of these others.
Well, there's a couple of neighborhoods when you cross the road and you go up that road like Lombard Hills or Fleckenfjord, you are definitely in a neighborhood and you have to go there to get there. Those sort of places can have the secondary units, but I don't see a lot of that activity. Anyway.
Yeah, the O Street Circle would be another one.
There are
other
things like that too. Yeah.
So as that has changed, are there other elements of selling or buying that are being put into place?
Let me read you one here, Ryan. You like to do that. That's good. So the city of Eureka has a new municipal code in Title 5 and Chapter 50 that was put into place on January 17, 2020, a little over 2 years ago. And it says that if a building permit for work valued at $50,000 or more is issued, then you have to have your sewer lateral have a video taken of it, a closed circuit television video, and the city wants to see it. So if you do any major remodel, the sewer lateral issue has now come up throughout the city since January 2020, and it means that if you have clay, if the video camera shows that you have clay pipes, the old two-footers.
Yeah, the old terracottas.
Terracottas. Then you are going to have to replace that. It can be expensive. You have to have a clean out in the sidewalk. You have to drill in, dig into the street, and you put a Y to the main that's already there, reconnect the main that's there. So the differences that happen is the city of Eureka made it the burden of the homeowner to be responsible from their house all the way to the sewer lateral. It wasn't that way before.
Not to just the sidewalk or where the water main
sidewalk.
Is.
It used to be up to the sidewalk, not anymore. So that's thousands of dollars and as much as 10 to 15.
So if somebody put in a solarium, something that has no plumbing associated with whatsoever,
it depends
they
on the
still
value.
Get tagged if the value is...
If the permit is 50 grand, but of course, people can say, oh, I'm doing it for five. I don't know what, people can do things. But also if there's a paper land subdivision of your property.
A what?
You have a double lot and you're going to make it into two lots.
Oh, a lot split.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you've had any part of the sewer lateral being repaired or replaced. So you did have a problem. Where's the root of this? The state of California.
Oh, you had to use that word.
I did. That was
the root. Yes, fine.
Yes, sorry. And it wasn't a pun. It just came out. But the root of it is that the state of California wants there not to be
the water leaking,
entry of storm water into municipal sewer system. They don't want to go. And it's also,
well, the services district has talked about that for years.
They don't want your sewer to leak into the water system under the ground. Our watershed and that sort of thing. It's bad. And they are being forced to do this. And so we talked about this a while ago, and you said, well, when can it happen? Well, as I say, if you're going to get a building permit of some size, then you would have to have your pipes looked at.
Have the plumbers shoot them. Yeah. Home movies.
So we talked about the city has made it the burden of the homeowner to do that, and those are the things. And finally, in red, the document says all clay laterals are deemed defective and require replacement regardless of condition. Well, when you have the average age of a house in Eureka, California being 65 to 70 years old, you're going to see a lot of sewer laterals that are clay pipe. So we are headed toward much of these.
A new industry.
Yes, it is. And several of the plumbers in town, half a dozen, now have their closed circuit television cameras, and they're
pavement cutters.
They put a tube with a camera on the end of it down into your sewer line. You get to see a picture. I've seen several now, and you can see that the roots coming through. You can see all manner of issues, and the clay pipe really has been a challenge.
So, if you're remodeling over a certain level, you have to do that.
Yep.
New home sales also.
Well, new home sales won't be a challenge because you can't build a new home without putting a new lateral in. Old home sales is where it comes up, and when does it come up? A buyer can bring it up. A buyer can say, look, I want this. I want to make sure that I don't get stuck with the sewer lateral myself down the road, cost $10,000. I want the sewer lateral to be inspected. So here you are trying to sell, and you don't want to do a new roof, and you don't want to do any termite work, and they're coming to this. How far do you have to go to keep the sale together? So that is also the pressure, too.
Is this routinely meet in the middle?
It happens a lot now.
Kind of thing?
Yes, it does.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Mattioli. Mark, if someone is looking to purchase now or sell now that we're into the fall, is there a condensed time or window of opportunity because of the holidays coming up? Or do homes still sell and get purchased in November and December?
They do get purchased. I think my record is 3 homes on Christmas Eve. If it's right and it's the home you want and there's none other like it and you've compared the others, you're going to jump and you're going to try to buy a house. But there truly is fewer. There's seasonal nature about it, so there's fewer buyers. But at the same time, there could be fewer sellers. So a buyer going out to look might have seen 15 before and there's 3 now, and he needs to get a house, so he makes a decision. He's got a job transfer or whatever. He's retiring, and he sold the other house back in Sacramento, and he wants to get in here, and so.
Are most of the home purchasers, percentage of people from out of Humboldt County versus in Humboldt County, is that continuing to hold at the same percentages? Is it going up? Is it going down? What kind of sense do you have?
When we had the big increase in 2003, 4, 5, and 6, right in there, we were counting 20 to 25% of the buyers were out-of-town buyers. I think there's still a good portion. When we're having a number of houses sell per year, there's my numbers in the category of 1,300.
Yeah.
We don't have 1,300 buyers here. Many of the buyers are from out of town. I mean, you can count on it like this. There's so many deaths per annum in in Humboldt County, Category 600. So many marriages in Humboldt County, Category 600 there. So not all deaths are going to lead to a house sale, nor a marriage, absolutely. But those components are there. And then we have people wanting to come to our area. And why not? We have cool weather, and we don't have fires.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just some things about it that make us have some
advantage. And pleasant people on the radio, too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, we promote.
Yeah.
But we did say one more thing about the city of Eureka will help those who are burdened by this lateral thing, and they'll lend low-interest money. Wanted to put that in there because the city will get mad at us.
So we'll call Brian at the city.
Yes, call
Brian.
Brian.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.